I realize that there are some very young believers here, and as we learned this morning, some older ones too, quite old. But it isn't a question of age, or it isn't a question of natural understanding to understand the Word of God. It's a question of the heart. You know, I was in a meeting in Walla Walla some time ago, and there's quite a difficult question came up on the book of Hebrews. And while we were waiting for dinner, a little girl, she came to me and she said, "Brother Lundeen, what did you mean by that verse you quoted when so-and-so had said to so-and-so?" Now that little girl had understanding in the scriptures. By the way, she just got married in Eureka just lately. You know who she is. It isn't a question of age. It's a question of the will and the heart. And so the subject I promised we would take up today may make you shrink when you think of it. Sins or sin. But if you'll approach it in simplicity, I think that we can just gain a little ground this afternoon. Not comprehensive understanding, but just to get the main points of this most valuable subject that is foundation truth. Now, you know what foundation is. When you build a house or a building, you build it on a foundation. You should. And that's where your Christian life should be built, on a foundation. Now, Romans is the subject we have before us, which brings in this a matter of sins and sin. Now, I don't think I have to say very much about sin, because our brother Reeves brought it very clearly last evening. And so we're going to speak more about sin itself, but we will speak a little about sins first. Now, I want to turn you to Romans 8, although our subject will be in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters. But the 8th chapter sums up the subject. I'll read a part of the first verse, and if you'll listen carefully, you'll get a little outline, I believe, of this most important subject. The first part of the first verse: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," is the subject of the 5th chapter that we're going to speak of, starting with the 11th, 12th verse of the 5th chapter. This is the subject of it. Verse 2: "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That's the subject of the 6th chapter that we'll speak of. We're not going to speak on the whole chapter. Just enough to get the subject. Then the next two verses: "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh," or flesh of sin, "and for sin," or a sacrifice for sin, "condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, that's the subject of these three chapters brought to us in these three verses. "There is therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Now we turn to the 5th chapter, 12th verse. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now the 15th verse. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now sin came into the world by one man, and it spread everywhere. The free gift came by one man, Jesus Christ, and is for many. That's for all who believe. Now the subject here is, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now what does condemnation mean? It means judgment. There's a day coming, it was quoted last night, when God is going to judge. Judge. And no one will escape the judgment seat. The Christian will have his works judged, but he personally will not be judged, because there is no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a point that you should be very, very clear upon. It was brought out last night. Be very clear that there is never going to be any judgment for you. I say this because I have had several young people come to me and say, Mr. Lundeen, I'm not saved. I said, are you breaking bread? Yes. And you're not saved? Well, sometimes I am. You see? You're not clear. There is no condemnation or judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Have you taken Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, you say, but I don't know all about the doctrine. God doesn't say anything about the doctrine. Have you taken Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You learn the doctrine later. You're saved. And when Jesus saves, he saves for all eternity. And there's not a thing you can do to change it. When you were born into this world, if you did something wrong, did your father say, you're no longer my child? No, but he might do something about what you did, but he won't say, you're not my child any longer. Be sure of it. If you've taken Christ as your Savior, you're saved, and that's for all eternity. Now, in the first part of the book, we won't take it up because of time, and we won't need to. It was brought out last night. We have man guilty because of his sins. His sins. Now, the sins are the fruit of sin. Sin is the root. When you see a tree, it has roots and it has fruit. Man is like a tree. The whole thing is bad, and so it has bad fruits. And you never can change that old tree. That's why we read, it's condemned. Not only are you lost, everyone in this room is lost until Christ saves them, but you're condemned too, because that's what you are, the whole thing. Now, this came out of what we had in regard to Peter. I am a sinful man, O Lord. He comes to that point where he gives up. He's absolutely nothing but sin. And that's the point you and I have to come to. But before that, we have to realize that we're guilty of the fruit of that nature that we have. And everything that you have done that's wrong, we speak of as sins. Sins. Now there's forgiveness for sins through the blood of Christ. But there's deliverance from sin. See the difference? There's forgiveness for sins, but there's deliverance from sin, what you are. Now, once you're a Christian, what bothers a person most is the fact that, as was expressed by our brother Gil this morning, that there's always things coming up, and you feel bad about it, and you say, what am I going to do about this? That old nature within me. That old thing that's bad, what am I going to do about it? Well, we'll see by the time we come to the end here. But the first point is, let's be clear about sins. That's guilt. Sins. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the subject of sin. By one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death. That's the wages of it. But now we find there's another man who's come into this world, thank God. A perfect man. A man who has never sinned. A man who was able to stand before God in all perfection. And now he came and he was made sin for us. He became that very thing that we were. Now we'll read another verse here. Eighteenth verse, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to judgment, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. And you have justification of life. That is, in everything that Jesus did as a man, he was justified before God in it. Not simply forgiven because he never did anything wrong. He was justified, proved that it was right before God. Now that's the place that you stand if you're a Christian. If by one man sin came into the world and you were under condemnation and you had no righteousness, now by that one man, Jesus Christ, you stand before God in a life that's perfectly just. So if you have the thoughts that Satan brings to you and he says, you're not a Christian, look what you did today. Oh, you say, I have a new life. Justification, I'm in Christ Jesus. That's where you stand. And may I ask you, where else would you stand? Do you think that you could ever find anything good in here that would stand before God? Think it over. There's only one place for you to hide, and that's in Christ. You'll find everything in Christ. You'll find nothing in yourself but sin. I don't care which way you look. You'll find nothing in yourself but sin. If you're relying on yourself, sin. So there's no condemnation then. And so in the 20th verse, moreover, the law entered, that's the law of Moses, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace superabounded is really the thought. Sin abounded. You'll find everything here is increased. If Adam did something wrong, well, what Christ did was so much better in measure as well. So that sin abounded, but grace superabounded. And so, dear fellow Christian, this afternoon you stand in nothing but pure sovereign grace. Now, this is the only thing that will give you peace. And when Satan brings those thoughts to you as to your life, remember, you stand in pure sovereign grace in no other way. It's natural for you and me to look in and say, well, I have to do something to make myself acceptable to God. Could you do anything more than Jesus did? And here you stand justified because of what he did. Now in the next chapter, sixth chapter, it says, if you go back to that verse in the eighth, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Or let's quote it this way. The principle of the Spirit, notice, of life, we have life in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the principle of sin and death. There's a principle, or there's a law that controls me, naturally. But there's a new principle that has come in, that has delivered me, and set me free from the principle of sin and death. Now the sixth chapter is a question of bondage. Bondage. You'll notice the word reign. You'll notice the word servant in it. You'll notice the word dominion. Because it's a question of who has the dominion over you. Formerly, Satan had the dominion in that you were nothing but sin. But now, there's another man that has dominion over you because your life is in Christ. And so in going down into this chapter, we're going to read a verse or two. Fourth verse, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, it should read, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now if Christ was raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, you and I are to walk in that life that we have. We're to be happy in the fact that we're in an entirely new position that we're from what we were before. We're justified. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Every believer is one of God's elect. And baptism is a figure of our going down, and the old man is down in the water, and the new man has come out of the water in a new life. That's the picture. That's where you are today if you're a Christian. You see, we live by faith, not by sight. If you start thinking of and reasoning these things out, you'll have nothing but confusion. But if you just take the simple word of God and say, I'm justified, I have entirely new life, I'm set free, that's where you stand this afternoon. We were talking about sins, our guilt. Now we're talking about what we are. We are nothing but sin, unless we're in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, we're raised in newness of life. We have a new life. Now, I'm not trying to say that you never sin again. That's not the point at all. The point is that you have a life that can't sin. If you do sin, it's that you exhibit that old life, which you will have till Jesus comes. You'll have an old nature till Jesus comes. But you're not under condemnation. The government of God is another subject. And whatsoever a man sows, he reaps down here, that's true. But that's not our subject. It's a question of where do we stand before God, because I think this is the thing that bothers so many young people. When they, after they're saved, they find that they're not what they would have thought they would be. And whenever you're occupied with yourself, you know, you're never happy. Never happy. Because you're occupied with the old self. And how do you get occupied with the new self? What we said yesterday with Peter, companionship with the Lord Jesus is the only way that you can escape being occupied with yourself. Your thoughts naturally turn to self. Now in the end of the chapter, well, the key verse to this chapter is the 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You may fail, but sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. That's your new position. You're under grace. Wasn't that the way the Lord dealt with Peter? When Peter said, I am a sinful man, O Lord, the Lord didn't say, well, Peter, you've been very bad. I'm going to have to punish you. No, he says, feed my sheep. I'm going to make you fishers of men. We're not told to ask for forgiveness of sins. We're told to confess our sins. And that's what Peter did. And he found himself in a new position before God. Now in the end of this chapter, we'll hurry on, 20th verse, the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. See the contrast? You had no righteousness, you were free from it. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now that's the old position. You can get books on this subject, but all we're doing now is touching the high points. And you won't need the books necessarily. Nice to have them. Nice to read them and get all the details. But what you want to do is get the whole point that it's Christ and Christ alone in which you find your full liberty. You were servants of sin, and you had no fruit, not for yourself or for eternity, time or eternity. But now, that's where you are. Being made free. That's where you are. You're made free if you're a Christian. God wants you to know it. And if you really learn this, you won't go and tell a brother, well, I don't think I'm saved. Because I don't feel that way. You'll take the word of God and believe it. But now, being made free from sin. From sin. That which you are, you're made free from it. Naturally. And become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now we said yesterday that holiness is only known in companionship with Jesus. It isn't turning over a new leaf every New Year's. That's not holiness. It's companionship with Jesus. Why? Because you have to be with someone that's holy to be holy. And not only are you with him, but you're in Christ. And he is your life. But the expression of it in your life down here is communion. Well, you say, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have to go around with a long face on all the time? You'll never have a long face if you're in communion with Jesus. Never. Never. Do you know anybody that could make you happier than the one who came down and on Calvary's cross died so that you might have eternal happiness? Would you go anywhere else for happiness than there? It's these natural reasoning hearts that spoil everything. Christ is the answer for everything in our lives. Now in this... We've had, first of all, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This chapter is the second verse of Romans 8. The law or principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Entirely new principle of life that you and I have because we're in Christ Jesus. It's not what we see, it's what we believe. God says it, we believe it. We have a new life. Hath made me free from the law or principle of sin and death. You are free. Not trying to be free, you are free. You are free. God says it, we believe it. In the Old Testament, you had to do something to gain favor with God. In the New Testament, you do things because you already have the favor with God. You'll never gain favor with God. Jesus did that for you. You stand in full acceptance. You stand in the full acceptance of Jesus as he sits at God's right hand. You'll never have a fuller acceptance than you have today. But now, in the seventh chapter... What the law could not do that is weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh of sin and a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It's condemned. The whole thing is condemned. You're not condemned because you're in Christ. the whole thing is condemned. The first man in Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. If they're in Christ, they're made alive. And that for eternity. You'll never salvage anything from your Adam life. Never. There's not a thing to salvage. It's all sin. But the life that you now have in Christ is the life that brings you happiness and peace and rest. But it's through believing. Because you never get joy and peace through reasoning or merely understanding. You get joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. Believing what God says in His Word is where you get joy and peace through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now in this next chapter, it's a question of bondage. In other words, it's a question of sin in the flesh that so bothers, because the sixth and the seventh chapters really go together on the subject. And here we have a picture. It's a marriage relationship, and then if the wife should die, the husband is free to marry again. He's not taking up the subject of marriage. He's just using this as an illustration of our subject. And so that in Christ, we have died, as we noticed in the former chapter. We went down into baptism and we're dead. We rose in newness of life. So we're to live unto Christ now. He's the new husband. That death has brought in separation. Complete separation. The death of Christ has brought in complete separation from the old order in which we were. Now we're in Christ. Now in the sixth verse it says, but now we are delivered from the law, that's the law of Moses, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Notice that. Because our life now is in the spirit, not in the flesh. Newness of spirit. And not in the oldness of the letter. Law, in other words. Newness of the spirit. And then we have this long list in which everyone, no doubt, goes through in some measure. I think you'll find about 25 or 30 I's. I. Because the man is seeking deliverance. He wants deliverance, and so he is using every possible way to get deliverance through his own strength. Now, most people go through the experience of this, but they'll never get deliverance in it. Because there's no deliverance in I. But they have to go through it to discover that fact. The seventh of Romans. You've heard people speak of the seventh of Romans. The seventh of Romans. Sort of a mysterious chapter. It's the experience of a man who has a new nature, but he doesn't have deliverance. Deliverance. We said in connection with our guilt, we get forgiveness through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and trusting in that precious blood. But how do we get deliverance from that constant irritating thing of sin in the flesh? Well, after all of this is over and all the experience of this seventh chapter, 15th verse, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Positive statement of Scripture. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God. Now notice, after the inward man. Thank God there's an inward man, and that inward man always delights in the law of God. That's the I here. That's the new I. The old I has nothing but reasonings. That's the new I. Now I'm going to take you back to an Old Testament scripture which illustrates the whole thing in a picture. It's in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. It's a very short passage. And here you'll see the full experience that of your own life and the life of this man and this supposed person in the 7th of Romans. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. They have no deliverance. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. It's the death of Christ. And thence, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. They're going to make deliverance by their own means. He'll never do it. But he has to go and go through the experience of the 7th of Romans. He goes through the experience. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. Now he's on the right track. He's going to take Christ with him, because the prophet is a picture of Christ. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, it's a river of death, they cut down wood. Now, wood is humanity. New Year's resolutions. Everything that you try to do to get deliverance from, with. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Now, the axe head was the means by which he would cut down the beams to get deliverance. The axe head. Fell in the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Everything comes to mind at this time. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. That's the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. And cast it in thither. It's an individual experience. He knew exactly where it would go. And the iron came to the surface. Notice carefully, what did it do? The iron did swim. What's this? Did you ever see iron swim? Or did you ever see iron come to the surface? No. Its nature was to lie at the bottom of the Jordan. But now it's swimming. Now this is a picture of the new life that you have in Christ Jesus. You've been delivered from the old principle of sin and death because Christ died and you died with him. And when you rose, you have a new principle of life that governs you completely. It's contrary to nature entirely. It's a principle of life in Christ Jesus that every believer has. Entirely new principle of life. And is found in Christ Jesus. Now he says, take it up to thee. And that's the faith that lays hold of this truth. And he took it up to him. He laid hold of it by faith. Now going back to the 7th of Romans, in closing, 24th verse, O wretched man that I am. Now he's coming to the point of deliverance. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from or out of this body of death? Now, this is the experience of one who's gone through this exercise of soul, which many of you no doubt are in or have been in. And it's a question now not of what, but of who. You see? Who. Not what. You've tried everything and you can't get deliverance. Who? He discovers it when he says who. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In other words, we put it as we did yesterday, the only deliverance you'll ever know is companionship with the Lord Jesus. Holiness and intelligence in divine things comes only through communion and companionship with the Lord Jesus. That's the only way. Not through any efforts of your own, but through being taken up with a person, the person of the Lord Jesus who came all the way from glory to bring about these marvelous results for you in your life. Now I'm sure that for the most part, only a part of what I've said this afternoon is understood. And I understood that when I started to speak of it. But remember this. The points that we brought out, you can take up now and read. And read these scriptures with it, and the Spirit of God will open it to you little by little if you haven't understood it. And you'll get joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thy mercy, O God, is the theme of our time.
Second and third chapters of Revelation. God's version of it. But you get the details of man's version of it in that little booklet there. And you'll find it's rather complete, although, I mean, as to the subjects. And most helpful in a understanding, a brief outline of the history of the church. And I hope every one of you will avail yourself of one of those books for that reason. Just ask the Lord's blessing.